Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 19th day of August 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel. And then a bit later in the program, we'll hear from Chip Flory. He's on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. He was in South Dakota earlier this morning when I spoke with him. That's up on our Twitter feed and at willag.org already, and we'll be that way all week long. Tomorrow, by the way, we'll hear from both the Eastern and the Western leg during the Closing Market Report. And a little bit later in this program today, we'll talk about the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And as we close out our half hour together, the guys up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us to look at the weather forecast. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
In Chicago for a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. Nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $6.41.5, up 10.5 cents for the day. December at $6.53.5, a dime higher. And next year's July in the wheat pit at $6.69, up 8.5 cents. The hard red September at $7.03.25, a nickel higher. December there at $7.07.25. These in Kansas City, of course, up 5 cents. September corn futures $4.93.25, 19.5 cents the gain. December futures up 22 at 485.5, and the March corn 497.75, 21.75 higher. May at 505.5, up 21.5, and July at $5.10.75, up 20.75. December corn $5.17, 17.25 cents higher. September futures in the bean pit at $13.22, up 38.75. November soybeans, that's the harvest month, at $13.03, up 44 cents. And January beans at $13.03.75, up 42. The March $12.79, 28.25 higher. And July of next year at $12.51, up 15 cents. November beans of next year at $11.91.75, up 15.25. Bean meal at $4.20.30, up 11.50. Bean oil at $43.45, 64 higher. Live cattle futures in the October at $128.07.5. Up 15. September feeders at $157.95, 27.5 higher. And the lean hogs finished the October at $86.47.5, down 25 cents. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil trading now at $107.07 a barrel. That's 39 cents lower. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, $2.93, down 3.7 cents of a cent. And ethanol futures at $2.24.7, a penny and 8 cents higher. The spread between those two is at 68.2 cents of a cent. That's 5.5 cents narrower than it was yesterday, or rather on Friday. Natural gas at $3.46.2 cents, 9.4 cents of a cent higher. And the diesel fuel at $3.07.2 cents, a penny lower for the day. Gold futures at $1,365.60 an ounce, in the September contract down $5.60, and the dollar trading at 81.225. That's up, or rather down, 0.033 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the National Weather Service in the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 84, warmer than it has been. Calm winds, mostly clear, low of 63 this evening. Tomorrow's sunny skies and a high of 86. And then on Tuesday evening, partly cloudy and a low of 65. South winds at about 5 miles an hour. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies and 87. Again, no rainfall, 5 to 7 miles an hour for the winds in the afternoon. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 67. Thursday, sunny and 88. And Thursday evening, a chance of showers. There are the thunderstorms finally, mostly cloudy and a low of 67. But just a chance, they'll continue into Friday. Mostly sunny and 86. Partly cloudy with a low around 66 on Friday evening. And on Saturday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 87 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 60. And by the time we get to Sunday on the extended forecast, we'll see mostly sunny skies and a high of 89 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They're, of course, in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the closing market report. It is the 19th day of August.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us to take a look at the Monday trade in Chicago is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, what a day it was in Chicago. Was it all driven by the weather forecast, by Chip Flora and company out in the field doing their crop tour? What happened?
No, just a lot of different things, a lot of moving targets. It's a combination of all the above, but weather forecast, and that actually started last week with the drought index. When you look at that map, it showed a little bigger area that was dry than what the trade was looking at initially. From that, we had some rain around, but actually those areas were too wet earlier, and then they turned too dry. So, until we get a good soaker and through the central part, Iowa, Missouri, and through central Illinois in here, the trade wanted to put a little bit of weather premium back into the marketplace. And as you mentioned, Chip, of course, out there, he does a great job on visual observations, and they said there's some good stuff in some areas, but, you know, still looking for some good areas as they move along, and crops behind as much as 2 and 3 weeks in some areas there. And with the funds heavily short, the corn market, this type of fundamental spark news generated some buying paper to come into the marketplace. Commodity funds bought up to over 12,000 contracts of corn, about 11,000 contracts of beans. Good buyers of bean oil and meal, too, and 3,000 wheat. So just an outright broad-based buying frenzy that took place. A lot more urgency in the bean complex than anything. When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, from last year to this year, the USDA WASDE numbers didn't build in a whole lot of big demand. So when you start talking about the potential, maybe a million less bean acres, maybe 1 to 2 bushels less on yield, and you do the math on that, all of a sudden, we're back down to some real tight numbers again. So that has been the catalyst in the bean market for the last week and a half here, Todd.
I suppose it's important to note that there is now a gap in the charts for the bean market, at least for the November contract. Not very big on both the weekly and the daily, I think half a cent on one and three quarters on the other. Nonetheless, it's there. Does it mean anything really to you at all?
Well, the old adage is whenever you like gap and go, the function of the market is try to go back and fill that gap. It doesn't fill that gap. That supports the trend. Gaps will be filled. It's just a question when. Technicians can use this as a measuring gap if it holds together here, and that would support ideas that the market can move higher. Today's close in November, 13.03 1/4, suggests we'll go up and test the highs we made back here in late May, early June at 13.33. So it's an acceleration market. We've virtually added just about $1.40 to the bean market from 2 weeks ago. But from a producer's point of view, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, when we're below that 11.80 area, close to 11.60, like I said, boy, if we ever get back to $13, I'd give anything to get back up here to sell. And here we are in just a matter of 1 week.
Yeah, so let's see. In that same week, we went Friday. Well, we went from a low last week 4.45 to what are we at? 4.85, so about 40 cents in corn. But we sure have jumped soybeans quite a bit more than that. We're at $11.83 on the low on Friday last week, and we're up with a top at $13.03. So we've jumped pretty substantially there. I don't think it's really that big a leap in the minds of traders. They were looking for soybeans to push higher pretty quickly. So the question really is, can soybeans, if they really need to, pull the corn along with it, or will corn fail at some point?
I think the beans will pull the corn. There's a lot of buying beans selling corn on the spread, a lot of beans buying selling wheat on the spread. But naturally, beans is going to pull corn with it for a while here. But when you do ratio and look at the value of beans compared to corn, they're getting a little overextended here. Upside targets in the D's corn futures, if you just look at the simple retracements back up to the June highs up there at that 573.5 area, 38% is going to be about 494. Halfway back up the high is going to be about 509. Then, you know, if we can have beans pull higher and get some more bullish news on the corn, this D's corn 62% Fibonacci retracement to the highs back there in June would be up to 524, almost 525. So I think as we get corn futures close to $5, you're probably going to struggle. Just the fact that supply-demand balance sheet at 1.8 is still plentiful supply, so we're going to have to lose, you know, some acres and see that yield drop a little bit more in order to push a whole lot above $5.
Is the trade expecting this afternoon's crop progress report to show a crop that's beginning to deteriorate?
Yes. Expectations are 1% to 2% drop in the good to excellent category. It'll be interesting and, you know, see which state, has a bigger drop compared to the others. I think it's going to be real important, you know, to watch your main Iowa, Minnesota, and Illinois, as those numbers are going to be very closely watched.
Okay. Anything else in the livestock for me?
Livestock just took the back seat here. Livestock guys felt good until this last week. Just the fact that we were seeing ideas that we could be able to buy some feed needs here this fall at some lower levels. So the grain farmer loves the higher price, but livestock's a little concern here. The thing on the livestock continues to be in the beef sector. Even though we've got tight numbers, we're still looking at per capita consumption struggling in through here. So overall demand needs to pick up here in the U.S. for the beef sector to move much above this 130, 132 level.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
I'm Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Support for WILL comes from Bates Commodities, AgriGold, The Andersons, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Farm Credit Services. Thanks to these businesses for their support of WILL agricultural programs. This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Tomorrow evening, I hope to see you in Strasburg at the community building. Matt Bennett will be there with Total Grain Marketing. Daryl Good will be on hand from the U of I and Pete Manhart for Bates Commodities. This Ag Outlook panel is sponsored, of course, by MHIS Crop Insurance Services and the Shelby County State Bank. It's in Strasburg at the Community Building. Dinner starts at 6:30. Everybody's invited to come to the 7 p.m. Will Ag panel. Again, that's at the Community Center in Strasburg tomorrow evening. Speaking of which, if you can't make it there tomorrow evening, tune in at 7 o'clock for a farm story on WILTV. A farm story with Jerry Apps airing on WILTV tomorrow evening is a portrait of farm life seen through the eyes of a boy growing up in rural America in the 1930s and 40s. Acclaimed historian and author, Apps examines day-to-day rural life and evokes memories of a time when almost as many Americans lived on farms as in cities. A Farm Story with Jerry Apps airs tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. on WILL-TV. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. The Pro Farmer Crop Tour across the Midwest is underway. Day one, really. Chip Flory joins us. From, are you on the eastern or the western leg? You're on the western leg, aren't you, today?
I'm on the western leg, yep, up here in South Dakota.
He's with Pro Farmer, of course. You can follow him online and all the things that are happening on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, especially on Twitter. Plenty of tweets out there. Just look for hashtag PFTour13, and I'll be posting into Twitter as well. Chip, tell me about what you've seen so far, and then maybe we can go through the process.
You bet. We're just getting a good start, and we're seeing what we expected to see up here in South Dakota, a pretty good corn crop. It's a little late maturity, late melt to early dough, but we're seeing good ear counts, good yield potential up here, Todd, and I stress potential, because we're going to need all of September, and it better be a good September, and it wouldn't hurt to get the first 10 days of October, too, to make sure that we get this corn crop home and in good shape. The beans up here, generally speaking, in pretty good shape. I'd like to see a little bit more vegetative growth on them, but I think that's kind of what we expected to see up here. The pods are still fairly flat. They're just barely starting to fill. Got a long ways to go on this bean crop and the corn crop up here if we're going to get it home. The pod counts, though, are coming in right about where you'd like to see them. I was just kind of hoping and thinking that maybe we were going to see an above-average bean crop up here in South Dakota, and I don't know if we're seeing that or not.
One of the things you reminded folks that are following you on Twitter, I believe it was you that reminded them, is not to take just any one of the field reports, but you kind of have to put them all together. How is it that that happens?
When Twitter started up and we got all the social networking going on out here, you know, this tour is built for something like Twitter, and it's because you're constantly getting fresh data throughout the course of the day. And not only that, but you're out there, and you feel like you're by yourself, really. You know, you feel like you're out here on the route, and nobody else is looking at this area, and by golly, I need to be talking about what I saw on each and every stop. I don't do that. I try to give some general impressions of what we're seeing, talk more about maturity of the crop, and overall yield potential rather than trying to get too specific in things. The other thing that we need to do is just remember that when you are looking at things on Twitter, that's one field on one route. And there's been times, Todd, where guys have come back and said, boy, that was a good corn crop, and they were on the best route of the day, and everything else is worse than them, and it doesn't turn out like they thought it would. So that's the danger of a one-route tour, that things just aren't representative when you're taking a sliver of southeast South Dakota. But when you cover it like we're doing with 10 routes up here, you really start to get a pretty good idea of what the yield potential is.
Hey, can you tell me more about the virtual crop tour that you've got started on AgWeb2? What is that all about?
Yeah, what you can do is if you wonder how your fields are stacking up to what we're seeing out here on tour, we've got directions on the website. You can go to profarmer.com and get it. Take a look at how we do what we do in each corn field and each soybean field. The virtual tour is for corn yields only, but take a look at how that works. And then once you get all the data that you need, you can go back to profarmer.com, get onto the virtual crop tour, and you can enter the data. You got to start with your state and your county, fill in the information or the data that's required. And when everything's said and done, you hit submit, and it'll calculate the yield for you, and it'll go into the database. Now, we don't use that for the crop tour data at all, but, you know, it's just kind of a fun thing for people to do if they can't come out here on tour.
A couple of other things. If people want to hear the results directly from you, at least from the daily logs, they can do that in the evenings. Tonight, where will you be?
Yeah, tonight we're going to be in Grand Island, Nebraska. We're going to wrap up. We've got about 400 area farmers that are coming in to sit down and talk with us and talk with the scouts about what they saw throughout the course of the day. That's where we're going to release the information, and it'll go out to all the news wires and everything out there. But it'll also be available almost immediately. As soon as we've got the data done, it'll be available on ProFarmer.com.
Okay, so you'll be in Grand Island, but on the eastern leg, they'll be...
They're going to end up today in Fishers, Indiana, just outside of Indianapolis.
Right, and then so people can join in on that one, and then tomorrow night they'll be right in our area in Bloomington, Illinois.
Exactly, yep.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing from you each and every day this week, and then on Commodity Week, of course, for the weekend. Thanks so much, Chip, and be safe out there. Have fun.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. That's Chip Flory. He's with Pro Farmer out on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwestern Crop Tour. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
A couple of notes. If you want to stay up on Chip Flory and Company on both the eastern and the western legs, we'll be recording the eastern leg at about 8:50 a.m. in the morning, and then the western leg at about 10:20, the western with Chip. And I'll post those both onto our website at willag.org and into my Twitter feed at Commodity Week. And you can listen to them online prior to the time we get to the closing market report in the afternoon. And I'll put them both back together. We'll do that each and every day this week. And then, of course, Chip Flory is our guest on Commodity Week this Friday. Let's check now the cash grain market. The folks from the Anderson should be on the phone line. They've been busy today. Hi, how are you this afternoon? Oh, they're so busy, they still have me on hold. Well, we'll listen to the beep and see if they show up here in a bit. In the mean space, a couple of other things. Don't forget that tomorrow evening I will be in Strasburg at the Community Center. That starts at 7 p.m. It's an Ag Outlook panel, and we'll have Matt Bennett with us, along with Pete Manhart and Daryl Good. So if you want to come there, if you're in that part of the world, Strasburg, of course, many of you will know, is down in the Mattoon area. And then if you're up on the other side of our listing area or near Bloomington, you might have checked in with the guys from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. I don't remember quite which... I frankly just don't remember which hotel they'll be at, but they'll be there on in Bloomington tomorrow evening. You can check their information out at agweb.com. Now on the phone line, we have the folks at the Andersons. Good afternoon to you. I think I heard somebody there. Hi.
Todd, good morning. Oh. Or good afternoon. It's Clayton.
Oh, hi, Clayton. How are you?
Very fine. Yourself?
Oh, I'm very good. Glad to have you with me. So tell me, the guys are busy, obviously. This little pop made people call in to sell what, old or new crop or both?
It's a little bit. I mean, the stuff that's left for old crop, guys are, you know, getting in that range. You know, I, probably the $5 mark, you know, is where they'll let the rest of the stuff go. For new crop, There's been a handful of guys calling in. You know, they're still worried. You know, a lot of people still think they need a drink, and that's probably mostly true around these parts. That the rain, you know, is filtering out. You know, it's supposed to be in the 90s, so there's still some hesitant from last year going into this year. So,
and your bids for the day are what?
We got old corn at 618 cash, new corn at 475 cash, Deese corn at 475 cash, Augie beans at 1448, fall beans at 1291, and Jan beans at 1288.
Thanks much.
Not a problem. See you, Todd.
The folks at the Andersons back in 2 minutes.
It's National Soft Ice Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1785, Seth Thomas was born. An American clock manufacturer, Thomas was one of the pioneers in the mass production of clocks. In 1851, Charles E. Hyers was born. Hyers invented a particular flavored root beer. As a Philadelphia pharmacist, he sampled a herb tea while visiting New Jersey. Back home, he created a similar drink, Hyers Herb Tea, with sassafras as the main flavoring ingredient. He sold the mixture at the 1876 Philadelphia Centennial Exposition in tiny packets containing barks, herbs, and berries for housewives to brew as root beer. In 1856, Gail Borden was granted a patent for a process to make condensed milk, which he developed in 1853. Condensed milk could be preserved for long periods of storage. His company's advertising slogan, "The milk from contented cows," was a tremendous success. The flat-top cans are still available today. And in 1887, Spencer Fullerton Baird died, an American naturalist and zoologist. He was the second secretary of the Smithsonian Institution. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
This is the closing market report for the 19th day of August. Mark Russo is on the line from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the weather forecast. Like last year, it's getting important to watch the weather forecast for the same reason. It's been a bit dry, and while I do see some potential rainfall in the forecast, not a lot, at least from the National Weather Service, do you have a different view of what's happening across the Midwest, Mark?
Yeah, well, we do have this change in the temperature regime, what we've been in here in recent weeks, which has featured seasonably cool temperatures. Well, now that's in the process of changing to a period of warmth here across the Corn Belt with above normal temperatures on most days from now through month's end, and looks like even potentially into the first few days of September. And with that, we're talking about high temperatures primarily in the upper 80s and lower 90s across the majority of the Midwest. And out of the question, you could get a few upper 90s and pockets out west. But for this time of year, those temperatures are about 6, 7, 8, even almost 10, 11 degrees warmer than average.
Oh, wow, that's really quite a bit warmer than average than I suspected it would be. I guess it starts to cool off pretty quickly at the end of the month of August. Yep. Any rainfall in the offing?
We do not see that much way in significant precipitation prospects here coming up, and this below-normal rainfall pattern we feel shows all signs of continuing through the remainder of August here. And we have a window here for significant precip in portions of the belt, and that's going to be primarily in the northern Midwest from Wednesday night through Friday morning. So that's the focus of attention, how much rain falls in areas of the Dakotas, southern Minnesota, Iowa. And as it looks right now, it looks like that rain will be primarily concentrated just in that zone.
Okay, so the crop is a couple of weeks behind still. I guess if we folded this back to the thinking about this as the 1st of August instead of the 19th of August, what would those temperatures look like by comparison as the crop would be making its way through this time frame?
Yeah, with those type of, anomalies, you can, add a few degrees here since climatologically your temperatures have dropped off about, 7, 8, 9 degrees compared to starting off the month. So,
Again, you'd be more so 90s and then some lower 100. So we're actually not going to be that far off from that.
Yeah, so seasonally it's a little different, but the crop might be in about the same range.
Yep.
I'm trying to get a handle on where the crop is. And then rainfall would be short at that time of the year as well, I guess. Maybe we'll come up with enough rainfall to fill it out. We'll find out.
Yeah, well, still at this time of year, on average, you get approximately a 1 inch of rainfall per week. And so with these rains here upcoming, primarily in the northern belt, you're only talking about totals generally, 0.3 to maybe an inch in a few areas.
Mm-hmm.
But for all practical purposes, it's below normal totals across the vast majority of the Midwest.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.